This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, Joshua. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we love getting a chance to talk to you, and especially now that we have a draft class to look at and contemplate what they hit on, what they missed on, what they came away with, and what they went in needing. And we had a chance to talk to Greg Schiano this morning, the Rutgers coach, about the running back that they drafted in the seventh round, and maybe a kid whose lack of top level speed, talking about Kyle Monaga from Rutgers, who didn't have this top level speed, but you know, talking to Greg about him, you think about a guy who's got 600 carries in the Big Ten, a guy that is, you know, didn't have a great quarterback, a great passing game, who got the ball and ran at people who knew he was coming in the Big Ten. And you think, well, you know, maybe they did get something a little better than expected in the seventh round.
I think they did. And Tom Monaga was one of my favorite players to cover. You know, his job was difficult at Rutgers because, as you mentioned, that's an offense that for years has not had any explosive threats outside of Monaga. Their wide receivers are good but not great, and they've had quarterback issues. They can't throw the football down the field. And then, of course, if you know Greg Schiano, he's an old-school football guy, so he wants to play great defense and run the ball. So here's a player that was running into loaded, you know, 8- and 9-man boxes consistently, and he was able to get the tough yards. He could even make guys miss at times, and don't let him get in the open field because he'll hurt you when he gets a little bit of space there. So I know people were saying, man, Bears, it felt like this was an opportunity for them to get a running back, potential obviously for Ashton Jeanty, which I'm glad that they didn't do. I had some thoughts about him overall and how he would translate, but even in the second or third round, could you get a guy? I think Tom Monaga is a guy who you know can be a bell cow, maybe not, you know, somebody who you're thinking is going to be a future Pro Bowler, but somebody you can depend on to get you the tough yards and just a high volume of carries and be able to take that load. I think that's a great pick at the end of the draft.
Joshua, I know you were not high on the Jeanty idea. We had good discussions about that. And part of the reason was maybe he didn't have that breakaway speed that you would need if you're going to draft him in the top 10. I think when you draft a seventh rounder, certainly your expectations change and are different. I do wonder what you think about Monaga's speed, because I don't think he's higher than maybe a 4.6 guy. Maybe he's different at game speed and just how his skill set. Yes, he can make the first tackler miss, but in the NFL, going against better tacklers and going against faster guys, is he fast enough to make an impact on an NFL offense?
I think he's fast enough, right? Like, it's not elite game-breaking speed. I don't think anybody would say that's his number one trait, and certainly it's a reason why he's a seventh-round pick at the end of the day. But, like, I think he would be dangerous enough. I've watched enough tape on the guy to say that I would feel comfortable, especially at the value that they got him. There were numerous plays, and especially in short yardage, where he would get the football and, you know, everybody's close to the line of scrimmage and they're running toward him. And next thing you know, he's running right past them, making a beeline for the end zone. So it's not to say that he can't run away if he isn't given the opportunity. It's just not, you know, he's not going to be a Marion Hampton or Travion Henderson when it comes to the ability to just separate from guys. I don't think that you were expecting that from, you know, seventh round running back who's really known for his ability to get you 5 yards at a time, but maybe not, you know, 15 or 40 yards at a time. But I definitely like him for the role that they can use him in.
I'm curious what a man like yourself thinks of Ruben Hippolyte, the Maryland linebacker who was like the first non-combine invited player to be taken in this draft. And we know the guy runs really well, but at 5'11", 240, he's been described as a tackling machine, but they were more impressed with his speed and personality, apparently good in the locker room. But to take him that high kind of left everyone a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would be surprised, especially from the idea that, like, you didn't feel like you had to come away getting a linebacker. Yes. I know some people had that on their list. But here's the thing about the fourth round is I think this is an opportunity where if you see a guy that, you know, has a ton of upside and you're comfortable pulling the trigger, you can say we're going to take a guy who maybe isn't going to immediately contribute, but we know he can be a good player, rather than saying we're going to draft for need in the fourth round and then throw a guy in there who has to play right away. Like, that's a fourth round pick. It's probably not the greatest approach anyway. Here's the thing about Reuben Hippolyte that I love. You mentioned the speed, which is off the charts there. He played with great physicality. The dude is extremely aggressive, and I think that matters. And I think they're trying to build the mentality as much as they're trying to build, like, the player profile, and they're trying to build out the roster. I think they want guys that think the way that he does, and you can see it show up in his game. I also think at Maryland he was a bit out of position playing in the middle of that defense, and he was, you know, potentially their best defender, and that's not necessarily a school that's known for cranking out high-level defensive prospects as of late, and so it's probably why he was overlooked in terms of early scouting and combine invites, et cetera. If you moved him to the Will linebacker spot, I think that's where he could flourish, based off of his size, based off of his speed and his skill set, instead of having to play in the middle of the defense like he did at Maryland. So I think this is one that is super upside in terms of he's probably a core teamer at first, but if you can develop him and you believe in your coaching staff to get that done, I do think he can be a productive NFL player. But this is also the type of personality that Ben Johnson and company would want in their locker room as they're trying to build out the culture of their team.
Talking with Joshua Perry, my colleague at the Chicago Sports Network, on Mullay and Haw. Joshua, your experience in the NFL also exposed you to life on the defensive line, so you can understand or answer this question better than we can. When you look at a guy like Shamar Turner from Texas A&M, and we spoke about this a little bit the other day, but he was a guy that moved inside to improve his draft stock, and I think it probably paid off because he's a second-round draft pick. He may be a guy in Dennis Allen's mind could play outside, maybe inside. You just don't know yet. What do you see when you watch tape of him, and how surprised were you that maybe he went in the second round?
Not super surprised, and the reason why is I think defensive tackler, guys who can rush from the interior of the defensive line, are more of a premium position now. We saw the number of great defensive tackles that came off the board day one. Like, if you felt like that was something you wanted to pursue, you had to go up and get whoever you thought was going to be good there early in day two. So I actually like the approach from the Bears in valuing that inside rushing is a premium skill set to have. In terms of Dennis Allen, I mentioned with Reuben Hippolyte, like, aggression, right? Like, he plays the game aggressively. I see the same thing in Shamar Turner. He is an aggressive player. He plays with a very high motor. There's a lot of intensity to his game. And I think just from that standpoint, he and Dennis Allen are going to get along really well. The ability to move guys up and down the line of scrimmage, I think, is huge. And I'm not sure right away whether he's going to feel comfortable going from playing a three technique to maybe kicking out and playing out on the edge in the NFL. But the more he can get comfortable in that, Turner, I'm talking about, the better served he's going to be. Because now when you're an offensive line, you can't just say that, hey, we're going to get our double team inside or whatever the case is, or we're going to, if he's out on the edge, we're going to just slide protect. If he's able to bounce around, now you have to, as an offense, work multiple protections against a really good pass rush. It's a very difficult thing to do. So I like this tactically, but I also like it from the personality and the player fit from his skill set.
You know, I'm kind of, as I look at this draft and learn more about these players, I'm kind of impressed with the way that they went after certain guys. Like, it's almost like they stacked their board and they decided beforehand they were going to draft some people, and then they took them at different spots. Like, all the connections with Ozzie Trapillo are kind of unbelievable. His his offensive coordinator was a roommate.
Isn't that something?
Of the head coach, you know, the general manager played with, his dad played with the guy's dad. It's just like, and went to the same school. The idea that they had circled Hippolyte as a guy they were going after. The one that blew my mind is Za Frazier. Al Harris sent a text to the general manager, like, hey, here's a guy. Take a look at this kid. We can turn this kid into a pretty – he's very long. We can turn him into a pretty good player for what we like to do. And like, they end up with these guys, right? So it's almost like they had this idea in their head. Like, I was hoping they'd get the Minnesota offensive tackle.
Bursary.
But they apparently had identified this guy and didn't mind trading down and taking him.
Yeah, I mean, we were sitting there talking about it on Friday, Ha and I, about just the you know, second round's coming up, and we're looking, and it's like, okay, this might be the spot where they end up taking running back. And then Quinshon Judkins goes off the board, Trayvon Henderson goes off the board. And then the Bears start wheeling and dealing. And to me, it felt like they were very dialed into, okay, if this is what the board looks like, this is what we're going to do. If this thing happens in front of us, this is what we're going to do. And to your point, they end up getting players that maybe weren't like the most exciting thing at first when you saw it, or like the very obvious thing that they needed to do. But the more you think about these guys, you're like, damn, this makes a lot of sense for how they're trying to build out their roster and what these guys could end up being at the pro level. You mentioned Za Frazier. You know, he's listed as a cornerback. The guy's 6'3". He's fast.
Yep.
Like, if he doesn't play corner in the league, he helped out in that safety room, which has been a bit of an issue for the Bears. I'm not exactly sure, but it's a thought. I know a lot of coaches in college at least do it, where they like to recruit corners that are big. And if they don't play corner, they just move them to the safety room. And now you've got a really good athlete back there who is used to covering guys one-on-one. I'm not exactly sure how they end up using them. Just the point is, it feels like it was a very detailed and dialed-in approach from the Bears. And I actually like the way the board ended up for them, because they've got some really good players coming in.
Joshua, when you look at Luther Burden III, he from Missouri, in the second round, the Bears, I think, took him as one of those value picks because of where he might have been on their board. He comes to the NFL with a reputation. We heard Steve Smith amplify it. A part of his evaluation was that he pouts when he doesn't get the ball. I felt like he made a lot of conclusions based on somebody he had never met, but I think that's going to be part of the things that Luther Burden has to deal with. It is the burden he'll carry, if you will, into the league. What do you think, based on your experience in seeing how these guys, wide receivers specifically, maybe come into the league and have to adapt and adjust either their attitudes or their new roles? And what are your expectations for Luther Burden?
All right. So all I know is the league humbles young players all the time. And it might not happen right away, but at some point you have to go through this process of getting back down to earth. And I think guys learn how to work from that. It's going to happen with Luther Burden. I think the Bears understood that when they drafted him too, that if there maybe was a concern, that they've got all the right people to make sure that he can get through that. I like wide receivers that like the football. I don't know about you guys, but I like wide receivers that want to catch the football, and that's a crowded wide receiver room. You need that competitive spirit. You need that dog. I don't need a guy who's going to be pouty, but I need a dude who's willing to go up to Caleb and be like, hey, man, just put the ball in the area, and I'm going to go and get it. I'm going to make plays for you. And I think that was part of this, how do we get this thing better? How do we become a team that can be a true playoff contender? Well, they spend a lot in free agency trying to get the lines of scrimmage together, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. But now you look and you say, okay, we're going to get premium weapons for our premium young quarterback. We got tight end who's going to be the pass-catching threat. But now all of a sudden, Luther Burden, who was seen and viewed by many people at the beginning of the college football season as the best wide receiver in college football, you get him in the second round, I think you end up pulling the trigger and you say that we have the people in the building in terms of players and coaches that we can make sure this guy doesn't get out of line, he doesn't do all the pouting, etc. So, again, the vetting process, I think, has to be good on that from the Bears side. But you can't turn down that value. If you think he's a top 20 player and you can get him at 39, go ahead and pull the trigger on him.
Right, right. And they celebrated that pick, man. I mean, they were high-fiving everyone, hugging everyone.
Like they couldn't believe it.
Yeah, they were going to throw a parade. I'm curious. You know, we had a conversation this morning about the idea that the Chargers put a tag on J.K. Dobbins just to make sure that they'll get compensatory value if indeed he ends up signing elsewhere. They can't prevent him from signing elsewhere. He's on the market. We know that. The day before, there was talk of Nick Chubb, of whether or not he would wind up in the NFC North, in particular, from one of the stations, a sports station in Cleveland. I'm just curious, do you believe the Bears need to add to that running backs room, and are they going to do so? Regardless of how good Kyle Managua is, you still have to make sure you're covered if you're going to be a play-action team.
Yeah, I think they should go ahead and add one more. I prefer J.K. Dobbins. You know, I watched Nick Chubb, what happened to him up in Cleveland with the knee, and it's just, you know, he's older now, and it feels like an uphill battle. You know, just to get the level of production you feel like you would want there. I know J.K. Dobbins is the injury history, but he's a younger player who's coming off of a good year last year with the Chargers. I also know J.K. personally. I know the type of guy that he is, and you want to bring those types of players into Hallis Hall. We're seeing, again, building the culture out. J.T. Barrett, the quarterback coach, he played with J.K., so yeah. I'm sure if they were going to kick the tires there, he could vouch for him. But the idea is, yes, they should look at another running back to bring into that room because it is still incomplete in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Ozzie Cipriello played right tackle for Boston College the last couple seasons. He also has experience on the left side. The Bears, you know, they have a need at left tackle behind Braxton Jones, but also you draft a guy in the second round, he's going to be probably a guy you want to count on to start at some point in time. What do you believe would be his best position?
Well, we had talked about this, you know, moving the young guys around if you draft somebody who's a right tackle. I feel like you got to bring him in the league and let him do what he's been doing in college. You let him play some right tackle, and then, you know, can you kick Darnell Wright over and see what's going on there, because he's, you know, a little bit more of the veteran guy. It's not like he's super old, but you might feel a little bit more comfortable with that situation. Ogie is one of the more interesting guys to me, though, at his position, because I played with Taylor Decker, who plays for the Detroit Lions. That guy was like a legit 6'7", and the way that he moved always amazed me, because those guys typically don't move very well. Either they're heavy-footed or they're just uncoordinated. But when you see a guy at 6'8" who can move the way that Ozzie does, it just makes you feel really good about the way that you're going to be able to lock down the edges, especially with some of the rushers that you see in the NFL. So I'd probably start him off at his natural position on the right side, where he's got most reps and he feels most comfortable. I think 36 starts there. And then down the line, if you feel like you can cross-train him, and then maybe year two, year three, you can kick him over to left, you end up doing that. But it's tough making a rookie come in and flip positions right away.
I'm curious what you think of Luke Newman. You know, obviously played at Michigan State, but was a transfer in from, I think it was Holy Cross.
Holy Cross, yep.
And he played all over the line.
Played left tackle, Holy Cross, and he played kind of both guard positions.
But they think he could be like a backup center. Mm. Now, they signed a center, but it's just, you know, you always need
depth.
Yes. So I'm just wondering what you saw in him. Do you remember him at all from any of their games?
I do. He's a good player, right? And as you mentioned, you need depth on the offensive line. I also think you want to stash really good players on your practice squad if you have the ability to, especially knowing that you're probably going to have to get to your depth at some point in the season. You can pull him up. You know,
right,
when you watch him, he had a couple of moments this year against really good rushers on the interior in the Big Ten. Guy like Mason Graham, for example, or even a Tyreek Williams, who we saw snuck into the first round. Like, you look at the way that he handled his assignment against those guys in the Big Ten, and you can project out the fact that if he's able to continue to develop, already kind of a veteran player, but can continue to develop, that he could be a contributor on your team. So I like it for depth for sure. If they're able to stash him away on the practice squad, I think they feel really good about that in case they need to use him, but they can obviously get the reps and practice out of him. I thought it was a smart move.
Joshua, thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Good stuff.
I appreciate you guys. Take care.
That is Joshua Perry. That's great stuff.
He does a lot of film study. He was prepared for the draft.
Big Ten work. And,
he's familiar with the Big Ten, the depth charts in all the Big Ten teams. So definitely knows his football.
And he's, you know, played at the Ohio State University.
And he won a national title there.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.